You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name is Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes in the West, Indianapolis Community News, and today we are looking ahead at free agency because it is officially the offseason with the NBA Finals ending tonight. And joining me on the other line to look ahead at the small forward position for the Pacers in free agency for the team that went 2-0 against the NBA champion Lakers this season, my co-host Adam Friedman. Adam, how does it feel to cover a team that the champs could not beat?
And we beat them, what, twice before? And they beat them in the bubble? They did. That's right. They did.
Beat him in the bubble too.
The best, probably best performance of the Pacers, kind of big three in the whole bubble, right? That's probably the best performance of all three of the players, right?
Brogdon, it was. Go and I Warren being like combined. Exceptionally good that game.
I guess
compared to how good he normally is,
it doesn't really mean anything to beat the Lakers twice because you know they won the championship.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, it's exciting nonetheless, I guess.
Yeah.
I just like jokes when I can get them off. But it's officially the offseason, which, of course, we've been covering some free agency stuff already. But the big reason the offseason matters for the Pacers here is the Heat are out finally, so the Pacers can do in-person interviews with Dan Craig and Chris Quinn. So that should get the coaching ball rolling a little bit faster if it wasn't already going quickly. But until that information becomes public and the hire becomes public, we're going to continue looking at free agency position by position. And today is the small forwards. Last week was shooting guards. 2 weeks ago was point guards. And those two positions, there's not a lot of appeal for the Pacers. But the small forward position is a big one. And we like to open these by talking about why the Pacers would sign a player at that position. Well, small forwards, an interesting one for two reasons. But I'll do the big one first. The big reason is that you can never have too many wings in the modern NBA, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you could literally, if you had... I mean, you saw it with the Celtics, right? You could play a line of four wings if you could. I mean, you really would, from one to four, basically.
They would play wings at point guard all the time. Like,
yeah, I mean, they could play a lineup of Marcus Smart, considered kind of a wing, right? He's kind of more guard, but
he is a wing. Yeah,
right. He's 6'5", 6'6".
Handling wings can be either one, but yes.
Yeah, but you could play him. They played Tatum, Brown, and Hayward with center, and that was fine. Yep. They could throw out there, and that was a pretty good lineup, frankly.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, and then the Heat too, or basically both teams in the finals. Really, I mean, outside of like Rondo, the Lakers guards are all big and can kind of play wing. Caruso is whatever the hell he is.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. Miami,
Butler, Iguodala, Crowder. I mean,
they have a ton. I mean, Hero might even consider a wing. Robinson sort of is. I mean,
Robinson for sure is. Yeah, they just threw him out there. So that's like. The dumbest reason is so simple. It's just like you adding a wing is great no matter what. If he can be in your rotation, he can play 2, 3, 4. You know, any injury, he can be in there. The Pacers offense doesn't really do like two slot positions a lot, so you can get away with that guy playing any position and not being confused on sets. Like, just makes a lot of sense just from a roster construction standpoint. You can never have too many wings. And the Pacers, since they traded PG, basically, honestly, even before that, have not had a lot of wings ever.
Yeah, I mean, before the weak spot, like in the past couple years, the weak spot's been the kind of three spot on the lineup, right? They've had a pretty decent four wing except Thad. They had one and a two essentially, but they really didn't have a solid three. Now it's they have a good three, four, whatever one you want to call Warren, but they can use another one in that spot. Just right. Be nice because I mean,
and it could even turn out with like. Say you don't even get a good shooting wing. You get a guy like Jakar Sampson, who turns out he can play center. And it's like, oh, they're super versatile and everything. The other reason to me you'd get a wing is because the Pacers' most important free agent this summer, Justin Holiday,
is a wing.
Who, I have no idea what the hell position to call them that he played last year.
2-3-4-2
somewhere.
2-3-4. He was a 2-3-4 player.
Guard. He could be gone. And if that's the case, your wing rotation, especially – well, there's twofold reasons why this is important. But just at the simplest level, if he's gone, you have to replace his spot in the rotation with another wing, right? So they would have to basically get one to fill that spot because Jeremy Lamb, like we said just a second ago, with two guards kind of being able to play the wing in our wings in the Pacers system, like that's fine, but then their guards are worse. Like you need another wing for sure if Justin Holiday's gone.
Yeah, I mean – And assuming Lamb is 100% in the year starts, you probably need another wing just to be able to play on the bench as well.
Yeah, just
kind of like a 12th man, I guess, 11th, 12th guy. I mean, I guess whatever you want to call Sumner, I guess you play him at wing a little bit. But you really can't have too many of these players. And they're also that thing where, like, if you go out and get somebody who can then all of a sudden become, like, a really good wing, or not even really good, but, like, a rotation-level wing, like Glenn Robinson, for example, kind of player, it's where the most, I guess, bang for your buck is, right? If you get a player making $2 million that can play as a wing and as the eighth man, it's probably really worth like 10, right? So like comparative value, right? Versus like a center, even if you had like an ideal center, really great, all of a sudden, like it has to be bam level for you to become like worth, you know, more than they're making pretty much. It would take a lot, I guess. But like the at the 3 or 4 spot, you can get a lot of bang for your buck, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think an addendum to a Holiday leaving is, you know, one of the bigger questions for the Patriots this offseason is a center trade. And some of that was the reason it's such a hot topic, beyond that it just makes sense, is TJ Warren was so good in the bubble. When they moved him to the four, right, he was more natural. He got the ball in his better spots. It made the lineup click better. Just obviously having the ball in a good scoring ball handler's hands more often was helpful. So they're probably going to try to pursue that. And if they do trade a center and move Warren to the four, suddenly, you know, I don't know how that would change the rotation, but maybe you even need another wing, because maybe McDermott's a starter all of a sudden, or maybe, you know, Oladipo's moved up a spot and Lamb's a starter. Who knows? There's a million ways that could shake out, but your wing rotation could change drastically. If Holiday's gone and Warren changes positions, or the starting lineup changes, whatever, all of a sudden, maybe you need 2 weeks. Like we said, you never can have enough, but they might need a lot if things break the way that, you know, I just said.
Yeah, you really hope if they trade one of the centers, they get a starting caliber player back. But, you know, you don't know what's out there, frankly, and maybe the money doesn't work out, and maybe you get more value on some picks or whatever, and you think your window's not right now, but maybe in a year or two, so you want to go get some young players and some more asset type thing. So I guess I could see that. I mean, you're right, we could see the lineup of that, but I have to me, it feels like with the wings, what we're looking at is a combination of like which ones are back bench free agents, right? Or that can fit into like either as a 12th spot or in the mid-level exception. And then the other side is what guys that are free agents that maybe could be traded for and assigned and traded, something like that, if that was happened. That's kind of the three areas that you're looking at, which is basically, you know, looking for a starting, a rotation, and then a bench wing, which is pretty much every position, frankly.
Yeah.
Every spot, at least, or every level.
I think the Heat are the poster for the wings to me, not because they have the most, like I think the Celtics have the most, but they were also in the conference finals. But like the Heat had, okay, I guess that's probably even a stretch. Wings, like Duncan Robinson's good, Jimmy Butler's good in the regular season, and Justice Winslow is another one, and that's a reason I bring this up. He's okay. He was hurt a lot of the year. And they said, we need more. Our wing rotation sucks. We don't have the wing defense to win important games, and they said, okay, let's go get Iguodala and Crowder and actually make this important position filled. And lo and behold, those guys were huge for them in the playoffs, like massive, massive. They wouldn't have made the conference finals without them, obviously. So throwing those guys at Giannis, and, you know, the way the NBA is going, right, all these stud players in the East, even especially Tatum, Kevin Durant, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, all these studs are wings. Pascal's kind of a four, but he plays on the perimeter. All these top teams have wings, so they just said, we need guys who have the size to play defense and stop these guys, and that helped them so much in the playoffs. If Warren can get to that level of defense, which as good as he was this year, I'm not sure he's that level yet, then great. But the reason you need wings is just to have big bodies to throw at those guys, slow them down, and give your team a chance.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you don't have the dominant small forward in any matchup, right?
Right.
You want to be able to slow that guy down, right? I mean, even when you do, I mean, it's basically how the Heat slowed down Giannis, how the Heat slowed down Tatum. It was the theory of how to slow down LeBron. We thought the Clippers would be able to do, right? Be able to have two really good, you know, wing defenders, plus you throw in somebody like Harrell possibly, or you throw in I forget who else they have on their bench out there in the Clippers. That was the theory there, but obviously LeBron they didn't get that far, and it didn't happen. But that's the idea, right? Is if you can have a constant wing just pressuring the other team's best player, it definitely helps. It goes a long way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the way the NBA is training. Time for the Pacers to catch up. Even if they can have Warren be the guy to match up offensively, they need the defensive matchup. And the Warriors showed us, just get the wings to throw at LeBron, And I mean, obviously they were an amazing team, but get the Wings to throw LeBron and you can win this stuff. And the Raptors had the Wings to play defense and they won this. You know, we have ample evidence that more are needed and the Pacers need more. So let's talk about who the guys could be. Are you ready for that?
Yes, let's do it.
Well, before we do that, I got to talk to you guys about Roman, because a healthy life includes a healthy sex life. But if you struggle with erectile dysfunction, you may not feel like your best self. If you want help with ED, Roman connects you with a real U.S. licensed healthcare professional who can prescribe the medicine that you need. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and super discreet. Getting started, very easy. Go to roman.com/lockedon, all one word, and complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today. Connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just get to roman.com/lockedon to get $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's Roman, roman.com/lockedon for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. Okay, so how we've been doing this, and we'll continue to because fantasy is fun, is we'll talk about the really good players who are out of the Pacers' price range and then talk about the guys that actually are available.
Well, I don't think anybody's out of their price range because they have enough salaries to make a trade.
They absolutely have one. There are two good small forwards, I think, out of their price range.
Well,
are you talking about sign and trades too? Because I still disagree that they would. Why would they do that?
Well, no. I didn't say they were going to do anything. They have the ability to sign and trade to any price, is what I mean. If that makes sense.
Okay. Brandon Ingram will not be signed and traded and is out of their price range, right?
Yeah. Well, he's not out of the price range, but he won't be signed and traded because he's going to return on that most contract or close to one.
Why haven't they just agreed to that now? I mean, some other team is getting a max in. Why are we bullshitting?
Because are we talking like. So, right, it's the old, can you get the fifth year? Can you get a little bit of a discount over 5 years? Because
get
like,
the fifth year, yeah, true.
Yeah, right? Like, what's the max term is?
Is he a clutch guy? If so, he's getting the full.
Is it 5190? Is that the max currently?
About that. For that.
Right, so maybe you get him for 5170.
Fair enough.
Team offer him 5-4 for 140 is what you can get from their team.
Well, either way, Brandon Ingram is the best free agent small forward, all-star this year, huge improvement. Pacers can't get him. That was easy.
Would have been really nice to get him in a Paul George trade, frankly.
Yeah, in retrospect, wouldn't it have been? Oh, man.
I mean, I think they actually did a good job salvaging the value for Paul George, but if they had made the trade a little early, they probably could have gotten PG or gotten Brandon Ingram. They made the trade a year.
Yeah, 1.5 years before instead of 1 year before, yeah. All right, the second guy is the one that you're kind of referring to with signing trades, although this would just be a straight-up trade I'm getting too deep in the weeds. Gordon Hayward, probably second best small forward free agent this summer. He has a player option for $34 million, big number, that he will almost certainly opt into. I believe that's what they're reporting. The only reason he would not opt in is to then sign a bigger deal with the Celtics immediately. I would not take him opting out as saying he's leaving the Celtics. But the reason the Pacers could get him potentially this summer would be a trade. But I will let you say what you're about to say.
Well, I was going to say, could it be a situation where the Pacers say, we'll give you 3 for $60, opts out, then they make a sign to it? Like, they have a deal already in place months, you know, weeks in advance, I guess. Right? Couldn't we see that? That's happened before. That's not the out of the rim possibility, right?
Why would the Celtics do that? Why would the Celtics help the Pacers?
Well, if they give Pacers, give them asset, right? If they want Miles Turner, for example.
But they could just trade him without the sign and trade then.
Well, no, because – well, can you sign and trade a guy and then his new – money is worth it, or is it becoming like right? So, like, if he signs for 3 for $60, right? Let's say, which is
the Celtics would not do an extension then because they're just helping the Pacers.
Well, no,
because no reason.
Well, no, they're not because let's say they really want Miles Turner, right?
Okay,
there's no way Pacers can really give enough salary to match Hayward's current salary in a way that actually like is an equal value for both teams, right? The Pacers would be giving up way more because they have to throw in McDermott, they have to throw in or Lamb and.
But that still is not going to do it. That's still not enough to me.
No.
Hayward is better than Turner.
So I'm with you on that. But what I'm saying is in general, I think Hayward and Turner Hayward has more value for one season, but Turner has maybe more value for a 3 or 4 year run because he's younger and obviously has not the injury history that Hayward has. But maybe you do Turner in something for Hayward instead of what it would be now, where I think it would be other side lopsided in a sense, where the Pacers would be giving up too much assets for a guy like Hayward who's injury prone in 1 year, right? So it would be some kind of mutual thing to make it work, right? I think there is a workable way, right? If Hayward was making more like 23, then you could throw in Leaf in something to make the salaries match versus Hayward making 31, which then you can't get enough there. If that makes sense.
That would be very obscure and very weird. So I kind
of they have to really want Hayward, and they look to really want.
They would have to really want Hayward, and Hayward would have to really want them, and Hayward would not have to like money. And I don't believe.
Well, no, because what's he getting at the end of next year when he's having the same kind of stats?
I highly doubt he's going to lose a lot of value next year.
Well, you think he's making 30 when he comes out? Maybe a year by year basis, right? Maybe. He's 31 years old.
3 for 90 makes a lot of sense for him.
I guess. I mean, depends what the salary cap is. So, right, he probably isn't taking that much of a discount. But, like, I'm not sure he's getting, like, a huge deal. I mean, I don't know.
He's a very good player.
The Pacers said 4 for 100. I mean, that might be more than, overall money he could probably get the next 4 years eventually.
Possibly.
I don't know.
We'd only have to make 3 for, like, 60-something then.
Yeah, I think 3 for 60 is a little low. I think that's what they'd have to make if he opts in to match
4 for 100.
Oh, I
see what I'm saying. Like he'll get that for sure.
Yeah, you're probably right there. So I mean,
really hard machination that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they should do this or that this is like that I'm in favor of this kind of move, but I'm saying it is possible. It's not like you were making something like that's not even possible, but it is possible to make this kind of move if all three people involved really want to make it happen. It can happen, but I'm not sure there's any desire from any of the three sides.
Turner McDermott. I might just call that Termit because we're gonna have to talk about that exact salary aggregation all the time. This is
25 million.
I might take Turner McDermott and a thing, whatever, Aaron Holiday or a first or something. To me, that's about right. But
I don't think Hayward has that much value. The dude's been.
I do.
He gets hurt every like fifth week of the season. I mean, he's a good player when he's healthy, but he hasn't been healthy for 3 years now, or 2 years, two or three. What year are we in of his contract? Three.
Well, he has more value than Turner, and McDermott's a little higher than a neutral. So I think you still got.
Well, I don't know. Remember, McDermott might have like an insane amount of value that we just don't realize.
Not to the Celtics, who already have 1,000 wings, but that is true.
Well, but he has a lot. I mean, if he can make a 3-point shot in the playoffs, he's all of a sudden like extremely valuable.
But I think Gordon just opts in and we're done.
I agree with you. I don't think there's any. I mean, I think Hayward could get traded to another team on something else because I do think Celtics maybe need to figure out how to get a center. But like, it only also makes sense for the podcast. But like, they need a center who can maybe stop Bam or can guard somebody like Giannis going forward. Cause that's the two teams in their way, and I don't think Turner solved either.
This isn't Locked On Celtics. I would like to have Corrales on to talk about this. But the other thing is, like, I do think that because Tatum and Brown are about to get expensive, they might not want to pay him after next year. So maybe they'd be happy to have him opt in and just run it out and see how it
goes. Yeah, I mean, so starting in 2021, 2022, you're looking at Jaylen Brown at 24 and probably Tatum at 35, right?
Yep.
I mean, he's worth every dollar of 5-year, 190 max. So that right there. Plus, you throw in Kemba's 36. I mean, you're talking right there.
There's your whole team of expenses.
And $96 million in salary for three players. Which then McKevin might be on the trading block then at that point, but that's a whole other thing.
So we are way over on this one player who is almost certainly not going to be on the Pacers next year.
Yeah, but he's an interesting player to talk about because he's an Indiana native and everybody.
That is fair.
It's okay to spend more time on him.
Last guy I have who I think is – so the Pacers price range is the full MLE, which is like $9.5 million. The last guy I have typed down who is worth more than that is Danilo Gallinari, who I don't really get what a sign-and-trade for them would be because – giving up Turner for Gallinari doesn't make any sense to me.
It's just
not possible unless he's willing to take a stupidly low contract. So I think Gallo getting signed and traded to another contender makes sense, but I don't think the Pacers are that contender.
So you're telling me you don't think Solomon Hill makes more than $12 million that he did this past 4 years?
No, I don't. Although that is the team, a double sign and trade. Solomon Hill plus every whatever asset that he'd have left, which I don't know.
An auto port have an opt in, but he's going to opt in.
Hey, we're talking about him soon. Don't steal my player.
Okay. All right. He's opting out because he made more money, I think, but we'll see.
Yeah. So that tier, the Brandon Ingram, Gordon Hayward, Gallinari tier, probably all on a Tatumal outside of sign and trades, although we just talked. Adam will, maybe that can be your whole show this week.
I'm good. I did my Gordon Hayward stuff. I was just trying to do it before the show, but you wanted to talk about it on the show, so I said we'd wait.
But there are a lot of good obtainable guys that make this this position appealing. And I want to talk about them. But first, I got to talk to you about my favorite people to talk about on this podcast, Built Bar, because Built Bar makes the best protein bar ever. They are a 100% covered in chocolate, soft and easy to chew protein bar that is perfect for the health conscious guy. Built Bar is great for losing or maintaining weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. They have their 12 original flavors and they just added 6 more, so up to 18 flavors. My favorite is the mint brownie, but they're all super good. For example, the peanut butter flavor one has 19 grams of protein, but only 180 calories and 5 grams of sugar and 5 net carbs. So again, perfect for a healthy diet while still being super good. They're, insanely delicious. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, you'll get $20 off your next order with Built Bar. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com. So the very first guy up on my obtainable-ish wing small forwardsy stuff, it's going to be hard to separate these guys out when you power forwards next week, but is a guy who just played in the finals and I'm almost certain returns to the Heat, but irrelevant, Jay Crowder. Adam, what do you think of Jay Crowder?
I'm assuming after that finals performance, he'll get the full MVP, if not a little bit more even maybe.
I think the Heat are going to give him 1 year for $22 million.
So is that how much salary cap space they have?
No, I think they're just going to give him and Dragic stupidly huge one-year deals so they can still have their cap space in 2021, but still reward them.
Well, they have his bird rights, but $22 million, he's sure $22 million for Jay Crowder. Oh, God, good for him if that happens.
Yeah, because they don't want him to take the 3 for $30 from another team, right? They want to keep Jay Crowder, but they also want to be able to go for Giannis. So I think they're just going to get – like, I think Dragic might get 1 for $30 from them. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Do you – weird – I know this is a little outside, but do you think the Heat's window is next season or next 2 seasons, I guess? No.
Because they're going to go all in on 2021 free agency. Now, I guess if they don't get anyone, then their window is 2021.
What about Jimmy Butler's age? I mean, are you that concerned? I guess I had something for
that. Tibbs ran him in the ground, so maybe.
Right. That's the only thing. Because I think Bam's going to be obviously very good for a long time. Bam's, I mean, he's super young, barely 24 years old.
Right.
And, you know, he's younger than you, for example.
Now, the problem is for them, they need Butler to be good for a while because remember, they had so many bad contracts that it took almost all their
assets. And that's kind of what I think.
Team.
It's why I think next year it might be a sneakily they're like trying to go for it more than you would think. You know what I mean?
I get that they would why they'd want to, but what the hell can they do? You know what I mean? Like they can't trade for a star and there's not a good player on the free agent market.
Well, I guess they don't have enough assets, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I feel like they're just going to run it back for 1 year deals and then try.
Right, I mean,
they don't really have another option.
Well, I guess the other option is do you start, like, do you maybe – Kendrick Nunn has some value. I know
He was awful in the finals.
No, but he was really good before then. I mean, he has some value.
Oh, good. A regular season 25-year-old. Just what everyone's looking for these days.
No, but he has some value. I mean, I don't think you want to get rid of Duncan Robinson, but do you – I mean, that seems really –
Yeah, the move is D-Rob and Nunn, but that's scary.
You know what I mean? Do you cash those in for somebody, like, really good that takes it to – And you know what I mean? Because I think you could upgrade that spot, right? You do that, and then you have to have space with somebody.
So back to Crowder, I know the Heat are fun to think about.
No, I know they are. I'm just kind
of stuck. Back to Crowder. Let me start over here. He is better than Justin Holiday to me. I wouldn't have said that before he got traded to the Heat because he was terrible for the Grizzlies, but he was incredible in the playoffs. Would you give him the full MLE right now?
I think so. I mean, I think
a little shy of 4 for $40. How old is Jay Crowder?
Oh, you mean You mean 4 years?
Full, not 1 year. Full MLE.
No, I don't know. I think his age. He worries me.
Shebang. He's 30,
and he hasn't. I mean, he's been
because that's how a team gets him not on the Heat next year. Is they give him that whole thing.
I think
the Rockets would love Jay Crowder.
To me, I think he's theoretically better than he actually is on. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
He's confusing because with the Celtics, he was awesome. And then with the Jazz, he was awful. And then with the Grizzlies, he was super awful. And then with the Heat, he was amazing again. It's like, I don't know what you're going to get if you get him.
Yeah, he's not like them. Like, he's a career 34% three-point shooter, which is, I think, worse than think of him. But he has, like, the size to guard anybody. And that's what makes him so valuable is that, you can play 3 or 4. I just don't know at his age if he's – You know, like I think what the Celtics made him really good too. He could play like 35 minutes a night. I mean, you could just run that guy into the ground, and I'm not sure he's at that point anymore. So I'm not sure at 4 years I give him that. I mean, I think if you're talking about like 1 or you're Flonely for sure, but
see that I agree with all of what you're saying. That giving, I would not give him more than maybe two or three. But that's why I think the Heat just give him one for 22 because no team's going to give him like $30 million guaranteed over three.
Yeah,
years,
he can probably still get the Emily the next season.
Right, exactly.
He'll have probably a good year next year. I mean, he's going to be in a good position to play well at least. I mean, he's a good player, but. You don't want to overpay him unless you're like close. Cause he's a good player where if he's like either your fifth starter on a lineup, like playing, you know, that four spot, cause you can't fill it, or he's your sixth or seventh guy and you can play him a ton. Then you're like in a good spot. But if you're the Pacers where you're probably not that close to a championship, then you're paying for him. You're kind of just having Jay Crowder, who's a very iffy, you know, NBA player. I mean, he's good, but he's a very complimentary piece, but not a very good like piece.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
The next one's a tough one. My next one's a tough one, and I'm sure you have some guys on your list that I don't. Because he's really good. He's one of Tony's NBA crushes. Great player. Otto Porter Jr., he is fantastic. I would love for the Pacers to get him for some of their MLE. He's 27 years old. He's a good defender. He can shoot. The problem is he's a player out from the Bulls for a stupidly high $28.5 million that there is no chance in hell he's going to opt out of. So I could probably just skip him, right?
Yeah, I guess the question is, if you know, if he was hit double market, what's his value?
About $10 million.
Okay, right. He at one point he was probably worth what he got paid. I mean,
but the thing is, he's only 27 and he's still good, so he'll get that next year. Just opt in and get your money next year, right?
Yeah.
Why not? So, unfortunately, my Otto Porter of the Pacers dream will never happen.
I do wonder if him with Chicago is like he's. Better, I guess, than what we. I mean, he hasn't played a lot the past two seasons, frankly. So there's that.
When he's on good teams, like with the Wizards, he was good.
And that's what I mean. Like, I wonder if he's one of those guys who's just kind of being wasted away on a bad team. Now, he doesn't deserve to make $27 million a year. But if you paid him 15 or 17, if he wouldn't be worth that, I guess on a good team.
Maybe without Jim Boylan too, he pops off this year.
So what's his salary is 27 next year. So maybe I mean, is that a possible sort of opt in and a trade target? Maybe. Right,
he fits.
You can stack some salaries without giving up anything but your center to get there.
And I wouldn't trade Miles for Otto straight up though. Miles is better than Porter.
I know, but the problem you're going to keep running into is I don't know how many ideal trades there are. And Otto at least plays it at the spot you need, and you've seen him be good at times. And he's young; and you could probably re-sign him. I mean, there's some more, there's some value there, right? Versus
you don't want to run. I've not thought of the ideal trade because I hate thinking of trades. I think it's exhausting, but.
No, but I guess the other point is like if you're in a position where you don't want to run it back, you're not in the just to be beggars can't be choosers, I guess.
Sometimes. Right. I get that.
Take the best thing out there. Sometimes maybe it's not an ideal move. But anyways, I'll move on.
So we can talk about Otto Porter all we want, and I agree with you.
I think he's good.
He'd be a good trade fit if there was a logical salary fit, but it's kinda hard. But unfortunately, again, he's a $28 million player option, not looking good. Can we skip my next guy? Can we just do this for 2 seconds?
Sure.
Okay, and the next guy on the hoops hype list is Carmelo Anthony, and he is not going to sign with the Pacers.
Nope.
Terrible fit. To Carmelo's credit, prove me wrong this year. Actually contributed to winning and was pretty good for the Blazers. Will never sign with the Pacers. Doesn't make any sense for their roster construction. Delete. All right, that was easy.
So I'm just going to assume he's going to be a Laker next year, right?
That's a pretty good assumption. Or a Net, yeah, one of the two.
Or a Miami Heat.
Yeah. Actually, there's three. Okay, we could keep going. Never mind.
We're good. That's all I got.
Either the team he was just on, one of those three. Yes. Okay, the next one is probably another one who's going to be on the Miami Heat on a super huge. Oh wait, he already signed an extension with them, right? Andre Iguodala already re-signed. Why is he on this list? Still?
Yes.
Stupid list.
Right, didn't he sign like a 2-year deal? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, he got an extension when he got traded. So this list was probably from before the season. Okay, Andre Iguodala, not a free agent. Done. That was easy. I only have two more. How many more do you have on your list that I haven't said yet?
Well. You keep going through yours because I kind of have like some back guys, I guess. Okay. But you're hitting all the top ones.
So. I think the next one is the sweet spot. This is the guy. Ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Mo Harkless. What do you think of Mo Harkless? That's a pretty adequate description of Mo Harkless. So Mo Harkless is actually a pretty good player. He is a mediocre to good shooter, I would say. You know, I remember the year with the Blazers where he had a clause in his contract to shoot 35% from three, and he was at 35.1 with three games to go, and then like didn't shoot a three for the last three games of the season, which is pretty funny.
Yes,
dudes, after an abysmal first 4 years in the league, in which he shot only over 30% one time, he's become a good 3-point shooter. He's a capable defender. He can cut pretty well. He's just solidly okay on the wing, which means he's cheap, and the Pacers are pretty good at getting those guys to be everything they need them to be. So I feel like you can go snag him up for like $5 million, and then there's if you need a Justin Holiday replacement, or again, you can never have too many wings. If you need a 10 minutes a game wing, I think Mo Harkless is a good choice.
Yeah. I mean, how much do you think he goes for?
Yeah, that's I have no idea. It's hard to say that. He was so good for the Clippers that I actually know some people who covered the Clippers that were like, it was stupid to trade him for Marcus Morris. And Marcus Morris was good for the Clippers, right? So they thought he was legit just straight up better than Marcus Morris, which I think is crazy. But they cover the team. They should know better than me. But anyway, so that makes me think his value is probably higher than the number I just said. But I wouldn't give him more than like $7 or $8 million myself.
Right, I was thinking so. 5 to 7 range.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly what he's worth, but you know, if he's shooting like with the Clippers, a good team that can actually create shots, he shot 37% from three. So he can't do it. It's just he needs to be set up. And if the Pacers are able to do that, I think he can be good for them as a shooter and a capable defender. But it's hard because he's been inconsistent in his career, but I think he'd be a good fit conceptually.
Yeah, I guess
boring.
Yeah, I mean, we're into the point where it's sort of like if they can't, then Justin Holiday, this is like this is a backup plan. I kind of got to this point last week with shooting guards at the same time, right?
It was like, yeah,
like he's not you're not going to take him over Justin Holiday, but if you have to make a move,
have we determined that since we've reached this tier that like Jay Crowder is the one? If they can get him for like a 2-year MLE deal, that's like a home run wing target.
Yeah, it's probably better than Justin Holiday. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, it's 100% better than Justin Holiday.
Well, Holiday shot so well from three, I don't know.
He did. Your player season recap was all about how, I mean, that dude reformed his entire career just by just drilling one shot that he never had before.
Yeah, I mean, he went from maybe not being an NBA player to now has probably a 4-year career set from at least.
See, so they can get Mo Harkless to be that guy.
Do you think they made him that guy, or do you think he just made himself
that
guy? No,
I think he did a lot of the work, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Harkless only 27 too, right, so he's going to be good still.
Who's your next guy? Because I have a guess who it is.
I have one more. Yes, I've talked about the guy I'm about to talk about. I think every offseason.
Okay, so say it. I think I know exactly who said it.
You know exactly who it's going to be. James Ennis.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say, should we say it on three?
James Ennis. Every offseason we've done free agency previews for the Pacers, I talk about James Ennis. He's a player option this time, so yeah, maybe not.
But. Yeah, that's why I wasn't sure if he's on your list or not, because he might pick it up.
He'll probably pick it up. It's only like $3.5-4 million. Yeah, James Ennis is just like – He's like Mo Harkless. They're probably about the same level of player. James Ennis just signs for super cheap all the time. And is like, it's kind of hard to explain because every year he falls in my graces a little bit where like he's a fake 3-and-D player. Where he like can only kind of shoot and can only kind of defend, but he makes such a little money that it's like, all right, fine. This is fine. Let's do this. Let's go spend $4 million and have James Ennis plug all of our holes. And I like James Ennis. So maybe they can get James Ennis.
I mean, another guy had mentioned it. How washed up do we think DeMarre Carroll is? Like, if not,
oh my gosh,
this is in like the 12th man.
Am I crazy? Doesn't his contract go beyond next year? Didn't he get a huge deal from the? Oh no, he was on the Rockets. He got cut by the Spurs, didn't he?
That's yeah, I'm saying as like the 12th guy. Wow. You think he's worth having on a roster at the minimum or whatever you can get?
Oh my gosh, I forgot DeMarre Carroll's in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean he's had a fall since that, you know.
He was really good for the Hawks on that really good team they had, and then just completely.
Well, then he had a really good playoffs against PG when he played for Toronto. That was
yeah, and then just fell into nothing all of a sudden. Wow, it's worth a shot if you can get him for the minimum.
Right. I mean, now we're at minimum, guys. I mean, I don't think I have anybody.
He's 34 years old. Wow. So that's hard.
Yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah, you're kind of. He's not going to be useless, right? Like that'd be fine. I kind of like that.
Yeah. I mean, you throw another guy out there, Jeff Green. Jeff Green's the same way, I feel, right?
I like Jeff Green. I think Jeff Green's really good.
I mean, he'll play for contender probably, so that's how it usually goes.
I think Jeff Green's really good. If they can get Jeff Green, that'd be great, but I honestly don't.
Okay, I think
also I have Jeff Green as a power forward, but that, I mean.
Oh, okay. That's
we're fair. Splitting hairs at that point. You know what
I mean? Calling him really good, I think, is an underestimate. I think you're overestimating. Calling Jeff Green really good, I mean, I think he's.
I cannot explain to you why I think Jeff Green is so good.
I think that's one of my dumbest
NBA takes. Like for the Rockets, it's so funny. We talked about this in the field house chat one time. It's like half the games he looks like Michael Jordan, the other half the games it's like, oh yeah, Jeff Green's on the court. Do you have anybody else?
I mean, just go back. What do you think Solomon Hill gets? Just ask. Is he in the league even next year?
Like 3 or 4 million maybe.
You think he'd be a decent like just 12th guy?
Would he come back?
I don't know. Larry Bird's not here anymore.
That's true. maybe. He's fine. He can play four, too. He's like two positions.
And did we talk about Bogdan last week, so we're not talking about this week?
Yeah, he's a two. Because, okay, I'm on your list now of guys. So Evan Turner is bad and not.
Yeah, you're now on the sports checklist.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant is a four. We'll talk about him next week.
Bertans a four.
Stanley Johnson is bad. Sam Filosha, that's a minimum guy that I like. I advocated for him last summer, if you'll recall.
I guess I'm wondering.
He's really old, though. Wilson Chandler, same thing. Oh, he probably he's an option.
Did we do Glenn Robinson last week, too? We did, right?
No, we did not. That'd be a good one.
He was on the shooting guard list, but I think he'd be a good one.
A good reunion.
Yeah.
He's exactly the guy that – see, he's kind of in the sweet spot to me where if Justin Holiday does return right, we talked about he can never have too many wings.
Yeah, the 12th guy.
So, yeah, getting the depth wing is hard because you have to give this guy who's going to be the 12th man a guaranteed deal so he signs, but you have to – you know, but acknowledging he's not going to play because Glenn Robinson could take the 9th man spot on – just pick your crappy team, the Hornets, the Hawks, whatever, and play more and prove himself, but he would make less money or, like, not have a fully guaranteed deal. Or he could take, you know – $5 million over 1 year with the Pacers and not play as much, right? A lot of those guys have to make that decision.
Yeah.
So if he's willing to take the second thing I just described, that's fine. Lance Thomas, he's a good one too. He's a good minimum guy.
He's old too, though. He's 33, isn't he?
He is. He's 32.
So, I mean, you're 33
next everybody? Year. MKG. Ooh. All defense, no offense. The perfect Pacer.
Is MKG a small forward or does he a power forward?
I don't know what he did for the Mavs. I honestly forgot he even was on the Mavs.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was still in the Hornets.
I remember he moved teams, but I forgot he played for the Mavs.
What a sucky lottery. One team gets Carl Anthony Towns, the other team.
Gets Kid Gilchrist. He's like, he had a hot second. Oh, Torrey Craig. Is he going to be a free agent? He's good. Torrey Craig is good. Now he has to
Torrey Craig, though, is he a smaller shooting guard?
What was that? Spotrac has video ads? What a joke. He is a three. Torrey Craig's 29.
Won't he be back with Denver? I mean, we're not going to
bring him back. Yeah, he's restricted, so very. No,
that's what I mean. I assume they'll bring him back.
Yeah, everyone else that we're saying is like a guy you just scrape up with your BAE or a guaranteed 2 year minimum, and you know they're the role that Adam said, right? They're the 12th man who, you know, the Pacers inevitably, especially this year, dealt with so many injuries, right? Like Justin Holiday was supposed, he's a bad example. Jakar Sampson was supposed to be the 12th man. He ended up playing in like half the games and starting like 20 times. You know, like he got a lot more bang for his buck than they expected even. So, you know, you can look at that and go, that's the kind of role you're playing. You're playing in about half our games and decent minutes in those games.
You want to do a football 5 minutes to wrap up?
Not really.
I'm watching
your Vikings playing, and I did not watch a single NFL.
No, they're not done playing. Wilson is driving. Had him on 4th and 10, and he threw a 30-yard pass to DK Metcalf. So I'm just watching that.
So, including today, I am up to a cumulative total of 0 downs of football watch this year, Adam. I'm
kidding. The Colts suck today, and they should probably play Brissett at quarterback. But
here's what I can tell you about
2 minutes.
Here's how I can do my football 5 minutes. I woke up this morning. And I had to drop Steven Gostkowski and the Patriots defense, and I had to sub in a running back for Melvin Gordon, and I had to sub in a tight end for TJ Hockenson. And all of a sudden, and I have Michael Thomas. So my fantasy team's best running back, wide receiver, tight end, defense, and kicker were all out as of this morning. That was very fun.
Yay, COVID. Your Vikings wide receiver probably saved my day, though. Touchdowns and 100-something yards.
Well, there you go. Do you have any thoughts on the finals now that it's over? Congrats to the Lakers. They my first correct prediction, basically in the entire playoffs, Lakers in 6.
I think if they went at the end of the season, I thought
they played a great series. You know, the Heat had a lot of tactical responses to the things they were doing, but eventually the Jimmy Butler burnout came after the injuries. And
is it me? Or does it feel like less of a team championship, more of a LeBron AD championship, right? Like I feel like also LeBron became LeBron become the first player to win 3 titles with 3 different teams. I believe he's the first one to do that, right?
Yes, I believe so.
What's his name?
No, Ori did that, didn't he?
Who?
Didn't Robert Ori win 3?
Well, maybe it's 3 championships and winning 3 MVP.
Yes, that's what I saw. MVP,
something like that. There's something where he did that.
Lakers had like one role player who was good every game, and that's all they needed, right? Like KCP won them game 4.
That's been great all series.
Yeah, Caruso won them. Rondo won them this game. Well, it was good this game.
He's been good all series, but really has.
They had one good role player every game, and then LeBron and AD were just like, all right, we got the rest.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably like me. if LeBron, I mean, I think LeBron has a chance of winning probably next year and the following year. If he can get to six, he probably becomes the greatest player of all time, or at least is a lot that could compete with Jordan. Because I mean, the amount of finals he's made is ridiculous. I mean, especially in this era,
10 in 17 years is insane.
You know what's crazy though? Honestly, if the NBA hadn't put the Pelicans in the Eastern or in the Western Conference, I wonder if AD would have made a conference finals one of these 8 years.
Yeah,
if they were in the East, we could say was not the strongest for the.
Hey, they can. They gave up a lot of. An effing lot to get Anthony Davis. That's why. You know what? That is freaking why. Like,
yeah, I mean, he is.
Remember for a hot second, like Pacers fans were when we talked about an Anthony Davis trade on this show when he was disgruntled, and it was like Miles Sabonis and a couple firsts and 80s. Something else. And people were like, I wouldn't do that. That's the entire future. I'm like, that is, yes, you effing would. Like, you cannot whine about titles and then not trade for Anthony Davis when he's available. Like, yeah, no stars demanding a trade to Indiana, but that's why you do it.
He on some days is the second or third best player in the league, depending on what's going on. I mean, in this year in the bubble, he was the second best player probably in the bubble.
He was nuts. He was so good.
Right. Well, he was second or third. I'm sorry, Butler. Yeah. Yeah. But like, I mean, considering
that, figured that out live together.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Butler was number two. But like, but just like, I mean, you know, you can name. I mean, of the top like six or seven in the past, you're right. Steph, KD, LeBron, just not anymore. Giannis, Harden, Kawhi, him. I mean, that's like your seven or eight.
Right.
Right. I mean, those are, and now I think the Butler competition now too, but like those are like the eight players. And if you have one, if two of those eight, I mean, you're really good. That's just how it works.
Well, congrats to the Lakers who could not beat the Pacers this year, of course. Unfortunate for them, but Dave Sorrell, Miller Time Pod tweeted this. Huh?
AD bricked every shot when he played against
him. He did.
I think he missed the first one too. So first game against him.
Miller Time Pod quote tweeted the video of Brandon Ingram shooting free throws in a Lakers jersey at Banker's Life with the LeBron's going to trade you chant happening. It's like, well, turns out that worked out pretty well.
Yeah, actually for
both teams.
Yeah, to be honest, the win-win situation.
That's pretty funny to me.
Well, so your Vikes are in fourth and goal. I know nobody cares. Game will be over while you have a timeout.
Yeah, I do not care at all. That is a point where I will let Adam update me on that, but not on you guys' time. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to check out Roman and Built Bar. We're on Twitter at Locked On Pacers, so you can see what all of our episodes are about and answer mailbags when we get to them. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you tomorrow.